Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
And good morning, everybody. Great to be with you on a Thursday. That's the day before Friday. Friday, of course, is tomorrow, and it is Freedom Friday, the day tomorrow you'll have call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, politically, that is. But today, oh, do we have a lot to talk about today? So, yesterday, I wanted to get to a story that I couldn't get to, but it is profoundly important to, frankly, to each of us. If you believe in your freedom, your liberty, your God-given right to express your opinion about anything. And it is, and it just relates to the Ministry of Truth lawsuit that I and others are a part of here in the state of Oregon against Secretary of State's unconstitutional Ministry of Truth. This is this federal lawsuit that we have launched, and it is being a very similar concept is being discussed and was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court a couple of days ago. In it, Ketanji Jackson, she's the newest member of the U.S. Supreme Court. She's, you know, the woman who couldn't answer the question in her confirmation hearing that, well, what is a woman? Apparently she doesn't know. Right. It's interesting because she asked the question that ultimately, well, the headline of the article is says, she says the quiet part out loud. What would that quiet part out loud be? Well, not too hard to figure it out. It's really simply this. It's the question. It is the question that shouldn't even be a question. You know what it is? It is this. Should government have the right to monitor or censor our speech? Okay, that's in essence the issue here. Okay? She was concerned that the First Amendment was, quote, to use her word, hamstringing, unquote, the federal ability to control social media. Now, this article in the Gateway Pundit then really quotes a concept out of the Bible. And what that concept is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? They say, and I quote from the article, out of the mouth comes what is in the heart. Justice Brown, Ketanji Jackson Brown, complaining about a core constitutional right of an American citizen is unsettling. These rights are implicit in the Constitution. They are enumerated in the Bill of Rights. The comments from Justice Brown are disturbing, yet self-admittedly, she is also not a biologist, right? That's that question that she was asked in her confirmation. You know, can you define what is a man and a woman? Unqualified, they continue, to determine whether there is such a thing as two genders. This is what happens when ideology conditioning in society and academia, common sense and respect for constitutional principles are thrown out the window. In parentheses, P.S., I thought hamstringing was a term that privileged people of the past used. I didn't know it was appropriate for 2024. The key tenet of the First Amendment is protecting citizens from the government. So, yes, hamstringing government is a good thing. Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment. Because when that was exactly what I thought when I heard the headline of the story. Now, it does not surprise me that this woman would take such a position. Doesn't surprise me at all. She is a creature of leftist thinking. And it is nothing new for her. What they are doing, folks, is setting up what is going to happen. Now, this is, and frankly, it relates to everything that we're going to be faced with here in Oregon, and not just in relation to our federal lawsuit against Oregon's Secretary of State's Ministry of Truth, Tina Kotek's Ministry of Truth. Not just that, but it takes us to the very core foundational elements of what liberty is. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are inalienable rights given to us by God, not by government. This is why those words are written into our Constitution. That is why we have a First Amendment that prohibits government from censuring us, from infringing on our free speech. This is even deeper, this particular argument on this case. Is deeper because it is going to strike at the heart of what's happening in America and in Oregon today. There's stories that stainless steel security doors are being installed in Portland at the U.S. courthouse. And the story is a Coin 6 story, Portland Trib. It starts off saying the next time political protests break out in front of the Mark Hatfield U.S. courthouse, demonstrators could be facing a massive stainless steel wall that protects the building and its occupants from anything that can be hurled at it. And it's a picture of these seven large hinged barricades that can be dropped down in front of the west side. First of all, why is there any expectation that these violent protests are going to be allowed to continue? Why? Why should such a thing be done? Shouldn't the Portland residents, shouldn't they vote for different leadership that doesn't allow this to happen, that doesn't tell the Portland police to stand down, doesn't give implicitly the control of the Portland streets to BLM and Antifa? Shouldn't that be what happened? That the voters of Oregon, the voters of Portland, have had enough? But they are preparing us for, with these stories, with this, they're preparing us for a repeat, folks, of 2020. They are preparing for massive riots all across America, but certainly in Portland, when Donald Trump is reelected president out of the United States, if he is not assassinated first. our rights, our individual rights, are going to be trampled on if the U.S. Supreme Court allows the concept that the First Amendment in any way restricts government's free speech. Our free speech should be preeminent, shouldn't it? Shouldn't that be more important? It should be. Now, the people protesting Trump or George Floyd or anybody else, they have a right of free speech too. I get that. And I honor that right. But let me tell you, that right of free speech ends when you begin rioting and you begin committing crimes. You see, to stand on a street corner or in front of the Supreme Court with a pro-life message is free speech. But to stand in front of an abortion clinic apparently is not, with a sign, or praying in front of an abortion clinic apparently is not free speech. They, the left, are preparing us for the continued notion that those of us that are white, or those of us that are black, or Asian, or Latino, that don't like what's going on in our schools, that when we go to a school board and we loudly protest, we are considered domestic terrorists. We are investigated. Yet they, the news media, are preparing us that it's okay to riot against the tyrant, Donald Trump, to destroy property, because that's a free speech right. But we parents of any color, any religion, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, evangelical, if we go to a school board meeting, or we go stand in front of the Oregon Capitol protesting abortion or protesting the Ministry of Truth, that all of a sudden we are a danger. We white rural Americans. This is what's happening in front of our face. This is why we talk about these issues. And when we come back from the 20 break, we'll talk with Art about that. Also, why are PGE rates up 31% since 2022? And that surge of prices may continue. And the mea culpa towards the end of the show today from myself and Josh Mike, at least in relation to National Pity Woman report. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails always to Jeff. 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Friends, how would we willingly give up our liberty? I said willingly. Not the tyrannical moves of the Biden administration or the O'Biden administration through the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, the deep state, which, by the way, did you see that story about the New York Times thinks the deep state's pretty cool? It's insane, folks. why I started this show talking about liberty. Liberty is that common bond between us. Well, there was this Ron Paul conversation with Tucker Carlson, where he warned of a black swan event. Michael Flynn, former national security advisor of Trump, General Michael Flynn, predicts there will be a black swan event before the 2024 election. What would that be? Some crash of our currency? What would it be that would bring the American people to their knees to the point that they are willing to accept self-imposed tyranny? Wasn't that kind of what happened with COVID-19? Didn't we willingly accept it? That trial run? Could it be something even more devastating that would cause us to willingly give up our freedom? Think about it. What would it be? Let's go to Art. Art, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Boy, you hit your first statements about the court and the lawsuit is right on the money. And let's just talk about who the Democrats have put on the Supreme Court. Obviously, very piss poor and not very smart justices on the left-wing side. Obviously, Ketanji Brown, hope I said that right,
yes,
wasn't the best qualified judicial person to put on the court, but the only reason she was put on there is because she was a black woman. Not necessarily the best qualified person to watch over our judicial system, which was put together for a very specific purpose. Now, you look on the right-wing side, the justices are more constitutional and less radical. And if you follow politics at all, that's why the Democrats hate the Supreme Court, because of the way it's put together. But the most important aspect that we must do is to make sure that we don't get a majority of left-wing radical justices who really don't care about the law, don't use logic, and they are very, very on the side of the left-wing radical people, and they really don't give a darn about our constitutional rights. All they care is about pushing the Democratic agenda, which is destroying our freaking country, excuse my French, but you know how passionate I am about politics.
That's right.
On all aspects. And that is why, hey people, if you want things to get worse, then vote Democrat or other parties, and keep Republicans out of power, and you're going to get what you deserve, because that's just a fact. You see it now, and if we don't be engaged, they will, if they can, take over our country, and then we're in real trouble.
Thank you, Art. I appreciate it, and that's the perfect segue into a story, and this is why we focus on elections. Leading Wisconsin Democrat Kimberly Zapata was found guilty on all counts against her in a voter fraud scheme involving military ballots. This is where, in 2022, in November, a state representative, Janelle Brangelton, or Brangin, was chair of the Assembly on Campaigns and Elections. She received three authentic military ballots to her home, addressed to a Holly, a woman who has never lived there. Well, it turns out it was Kimberly Zapata, the deputy director of the City of Milwaukee Election Commission. She got fired for this because she admitted to it that she did this. And that Democrats were saying, well, she was attempting to point out how easy it is for military ballots to be fraudulently sent out without photo ID or even voter registration. Did you know that, folks? It happened. It happens in Oregon. More to talk about when we come back, including some great cartoons and emails. Cartoons about Boeing from our buddy Rich. Back in a moment. It's 6:30.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes before the top of the hour. Speaking of advertisers, if you're just joining us, in a moment we'll talk about one of our great advertisers, but truly the opportunity for you to avail yourself of great companies that are local, that are right here in the Mid-Valley area, that support this radio station. Those are people who feel the way you do, who think the way you do, who have your principles, your values. They share them with you. You've got your opportunity to do business with a lot of companies, small, larger businesses, doesn't matter. If you want to preserve freedom, your liberty, while you're alive, or for your kids, your grandkids, then I truly urge you to, well, to just make the choice to talk with many of our advertisers. Some of you have, and I'm just so grateful for that. And they are too. They stuck with us during tough times. We as a radio station. We should say thank you to them for standing up for our similar principles and values. The principles of liberty. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Rights given to us by God, not man. The left is assaulting those. The Marxist ideas, communist ideas of tyranny, of vaccine mandates, of saying you can't work for the state of Oregon unless you get the shot. Thank you, Kate. Closing down churches, schools, leaving open the liquor stores and the pot stores. That kind of tyranny that says, you know, if you don't agree with how the elections came out, you know, if you think there's military ballot fraud and we say there ain't, we're going to counter your narrative as a government. We're going to censure your free speech because we're going to ask Facebook and Instagram and X to block you because you're providing misinformation. You're hamstringing the government's ability to control social media. That same way of thinking is the way of thinking that says we can't control the riots in the streets. Really? shoot a few rioters and you tell me what happens. You think Antifa will show up to destroy downtown businesses like they have if a few of them actually get shot in the process of doing that? And the people that shoot them, maybe the landowner, the shop owner, the homeowner, isn't prosecuted, but that the rioters get prosecuted. You think that would send a message? So that we don't have to install stainless steel barricade doors at the Mark Hatfield Courthouse in downtown Portland? We're talking about liberty, folks. We're talking about common sense. And when you allow the rioters to destroy the concept of public safety, what's the inevitable action? Well, I'll tell you what the inevitable reaction is. You and I take action. We choose not to do business in downtown Portland because it ain't safe. Still doesn't look like the beautiful city that it once was. Some new mayor candidates are trying to fix that. We've got a DA challenger who's trying to fix that. Nathan Vasquez running against his boss, Mike Schmidt, the Soros-backed woke DA who refused to prosecute the people destroying downtown. You get 600 businesses who left Portland. You get the world thinking that Oregon is just like Portland. You get these other stories on Oregon Watchdog today. About schools in Oregon facing big budget cuts. Why would that be? Well, because people are pulling their kids out of schools because they didn't like what happened during COVID, because they don't continue to like what happens with the DEI. By the way, Rich sent me a great, this is diversity, equity, inclusion training. It's just great. It's a couple great Boeing cartoons. One of them is a Boeing airliner climbing up, and there's a missile about ready to hit it, the missile of diversity, equity, inclusion. And then there's another one that says, look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's parts of a Boeing. Yeah, it is. Because woke CEOs who gave billions of dollars to Black Lives Matter in a knee-jerk reaction has created this. A woke media, including social media, that censored us, creates the impression that we white rural folk are the problem. White supremacy. You get Joe Biden hopped up on drugs, apparently, who's not slurring his words, but he's yelling over and over again in major speeches against white supremacy. Folks, they're setting us up for continued violent protests, because what will happen is there will be some manufactured crisis. And it will cause you and I, because the people that are, I'm getting a little off track here, and I'm sorry for that, but I got to tell you that this is just, folks, they're setting us up for us willingly giving up our liberty by continuing to elect the people that are willing to give up our liberty, to are willing to legislate away our liberty. Like your parental rights, House Bill 2002A, one Republican voted for that. His name was Charlie Conrad. Out in the rural area east of Springfield, he's got a high quality Republican opponent in the primary. I hope he gets his clock cleaned. How anybody could think it's okay to protect a child rapist by allowing a 10-year-old who got raped by a man to get an abortion without parental consent. How any Republican, how any thinking person, Republican or Democrat, could think that's okay. Or that a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old is smart enough to choose to have a transgender surgery and the parents can't stop it. Anybody who does that has lost their ability to rationally think things through because what happens over time is people get voted in who believe it's okay to do that. Those people were Democrats and one Republican. And a few Republicans who apparently thought it was okay to provide quorum in the House and Senate in exchange for money for their districts so the Democrats could pass that bill. Oh, it was modified, but only just a little bit. Those are the same people that were voted on. This is why we focus on elections, folks. That were voted, that just tried to pass Senate Bill 1583, which takes away school board. It's the Democrats' porn forever in schools bill. Takes away school boards and parental rights of local control to say no to that kind of crap, that kind of garbage. Portland, there's another story, is going to reinstate, this is an OPB story, the protest response team ahead of the 2024 elections. The protest response team. Again, they are preparing for the fact that nobody's going to deal with violent protesters appropriately. They are acknowledging that likely... Do you think there's going to be any protests if Joe Biden is president? Probably not. 503-589-1220 is the power of your screen. I know I went a little bit long. I'm going to hit some of our... some of our advertisers. Great emails from Doug and Rich. Your phone calls 503-589-1220.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back in just 10 minutes from the top of there. By the way, John, joining me right now is Amanda, our producer, one of the owners of KSLM. Hey, Amanda. The meeting, the live broadcast we're doing on Saturday is where now?
So, good morning, you guys. It is at the East Salem Community Center, which is 1850 45th Avenue in Northeast Salem.
East Salem Community Center. And this is a Latino-focused event, and it is with Representative Ed Deal, Julie Hoy running for mayor, Kevin Mannix, and there are others there. Why are they doing this?
I think that they want to engage with the Latinos, Hispanic community. They want to connect with them and let them know that they matter, they're heard, their vote counts, and just talk to them, engage with them. Sometimes there can be a language barrier, and we want to break that and let them know that we care, we're here, they're seen. And at the end of the day, we stand united, divided we fall. And so we want to come together and be on the same page.
Okay, so that's this Saturday, and it begins when and ends when?
So the actual event, they want people to start showing up around 9. I believe it actually starts at 9:30 and goes to noon. We will be broadcasting, doing commercial breaks, and I believe we will start going live at 10 a.m., and then we'll break in every half hour till noon.
Okay, and we're going to do interviews with the legislators and others, including the organizer of the event, and maybe others that are of Hispanic Latino descent, who are there to learn to bridge that gap that, well, apparently exists.
Yeah, it does, and I think it's important that we just reach out to everybody. So
okay,
I'm excited.
And again, it is at the East Side Community Center.
Yes, and I do believe you have to register if you'd like to go.
Okay. Okay, well, send me that flyer again. I'll put it up on the show plan today.
So
folks can be a part of that. Doug writes a great email. Says, we are at war and your government is not on your side. Justice Brown has invalidated herself and the government. Administrators always become irrational. And in some cases, can't tell the difference between male or female and become gangs of fourth-rate employees. Democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. That last part was a quote from H.L. Mencken. Democracy is a theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. Rich wrote me a couple of emails, one about military ballots. The military ballot fraud, folks, is profound. You never have to even show any ID or that you're actually in. You don't have to prove you're in the military. You can get a military ballot, and that's how this Wisconsin election official was convicted of doing that to a state representative. How stupid can you be? It happens. He writes, well, I never got mine. Oh, wait, maybe because I was only 19 or 20 and I was in Vietnam. Yeah. And another important piece from Rich before I go to Josh Michael. He said, I listened to yesterday's program last night. In my opinion, Mr. Yu, that was Solomon Yu, the former National Committee man for Oregon in the Republican National Committee, he did an interesting move by adding his numbers to the gentleman named Dan. He basically disenfranchised those who voted for Don Powers. I guess you could call it his lashback at those who were there to vote. Interesting tactic. What type of ranked or whatever it is voting needs to stop? Also, PGE gets another 17% next year. We're tired of paying for the boondoggle of solar and wind power. The state PUC should stop just saying yes to anything PGE wants. Yeah, and the people that are mandating that are the legislators. That's why elections matter. Joining me is Josh Michael. Josh, good morning. Yesterday, late in the evening, we got a communication from Tracy Honnell, who is the National Republican County or National Republican Committee.
National Committee Woman.
And she asked us to correct something.
Yeah, so I had to correct something. I don't know if I misspoke on the show, but I just wanted to make a correction. Tracy Honnell didn't win by 1 point. My interpretation was that she was 1 point over the requirement to have to do a revote. So she was still 20, 25 votes away. I don't have the exact number, but she was well beyond the runner-up in regards to the vote. So she had 63 votes, and the runner-up, Regina Jackson, was 34 votes. And so I think it came across wrong in the show that she won by one vote. No, I misspoke. She was one vote away from a revote. And so that missing vote, it was really interesting that missing vote, but I talked to her yesterday for 30 minutes or so. And she's a wonderful woman. We're really happy to have her. She's very aware with what's going on. And she's also really close with Dan Mason. So, you know, I reached out to her and Dan, and I'm probably going to have him on the show in the next couple of weeks and talk to him. So,
yeah, and thank you for doing that, Josh. I also chatted with her last night. She's going to be on this radio show next week, and she may even be showing up at one of our political coffee clashes. I've invited her to be a part of that. I think it would be instructive because, frankly, most of our audience, heck, I don't even know all that a national committee person, man or woman, does, representing Oregon back at the Republican National Committee. I think it's important. And by the way, I misspoke yesterday because I said she was new. She wasn't. She's been the national committee woman since 2021.
Yes.
Josh, I had just, maybe I knew that, but it just went whew, right over my head. So right. My bad. Okay. But we'll have her in Salem. She lives out in Astoria. And all of the travel that she does, she's on the road traveling around the state of Oregon to the local parties in their meetings. So will be Dan Mason. And we'll try to get Dan on the show also. I've known Dan for a long time. I think he's a quality guy. It should be noted that Tracy was not backed by Solomon Yu. Solomon backed another candidate.
That's a very important thing to notate. Yes.
So Josh, I think it's great that you're going to have her on your show. And I think it's great that you and I both came on the show today to allow ourselves to be held accountable to correct the record. And we have, and we will, and we'll have her on both your show and my show soon.
Absolutely. And in regards to the theme of your show today, Jeff, you are right over the target. And you're hitting the key point is the fact that when these riots happen and when this chaos comes, they're preparing for a Donald Trump presidency. They're going to try to tie him up with chaos because all the George Soros money and the dark money is going to start funding these groups again. And we saw an example of it with Kyle Rittenhouse this weekend.
You're right. Thanks, Josh. You can listen to his shows, Noncompliant America, Saturdays at 4 p.m. here. Tim sent me, apparently the teachers have voted whether or not to strike here at Salem Kaiser. And a lot of other things, folks. I wish I could have gotten to everything today. I did not. My bad. Thanks to all of our advertisers. Peter Visionaire, Mike Pillow.